If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight on Grant and Danny. No Nats, they're idle. One of the very rare days. Hold on. Let me stare at a light. I've had weird sneezes a few times today hit me mid-sentence.
Yeah.
And I've had to kill the microphone, and this was not a situation where I could get to a stop sign.
Does that bit work for you to look at the light?
I don't think so, but it was an all-hands-on-deck moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, I'm not sneezing right now, so I guess it didn't
happen. Well, while you're killing time, I'd just like to point out that our producer, Darris, has never seen The Big Lebowski. That's all. Just something I discovered during the break. Because you know that movie that he does sometimes where we're talking about a movie and like Ryan's like catching shrapnel because he's like, he's like, no, not another Teen Movie 11. Scary Movie 14 is the best where the guy's got a booger hanging out of his nose or something. And then Darris just sits there, whisper quiet.
Yes.
Hoping that nobody calls on him. And I sensed it this time. So I crept on over and I was like, I'm going to bet that Darris has never seen The Big Lebowski. He puts his headphones on, makes big production. He's like, we're back for break, you guys. Everyone's got to go back into the studio because we're back from break. So go ahead and tweet him.
I think my best observations I've ever made was when I called Darris on the fact that like 87% of the time when we're busted on Ryan, Darris is in the exact same boat sitting over there just letting him. And it's just like laughing and like, oh, this idiot.
what a moron.
Oh, you never seen that? And Darris has no idea. Now, I think on some of the Ryan Explains It All things, Darris could probably help him out a little bit. Some of them. But really, that's not what's important here. What's important here is on movies, TV shows, references, there are so many moments where Darris is just like, don't call on me, don't call on me, don't call on me.
That was one of them.
It's like me in my Spanish class at George Mason University.
No.
The teacher's just like, en español, words. Like, please don't say my name. Please don't say my name. Please don't say my name. Guillermo. And I'm like, damn it. Because that was my Spanish name.
Yep.
That's what she went with. Not me. So Darris just comes into class every day. Ryan gets called a lot. He leaves. And he's just hoping to get that grade. That's where we're at.
If you'd like to tweet somebody, @the_game836. I just posted on my own Twitter account, @FunnyDanny. Just let him know that you think that's not great, that he hasn't seen The Big Lebowski. Feel free to inundate his Twitter account.
Couple of quick storylines before we get back to the topic at hand here on Grant and Danny. Jordan Love is not practicing at training camp until he gets a new deal with the Green Bay Packers. He has told them that he will not take the field and risk an injury until he has a new contract. I don't mind this. I would call him out and say it's a bad decision as a quarterback and as a leader of the team if he wasn't at camp. But he is at camp. He's in the locker room with the guys. He's in every meeting.
Yep.
He's taking notes. He's going over all the install. And then when they actually do the on-field stuff, he just kind of stands 10 feet behind the formation with the coaches and watches, presumably.
Yeah, there's very little a player can do at this point. Meaning
leverage to get a deal.
Yeah, and in these cases, like when it's happening to your team, it's frustrating. Like from afar, I'm going, yeah, Jordan Love's got, you know, very little leverage in this sort of set of circumstances. They could franchise him eventually. They can do a whole bunch. This is your one tool, kind of, to try to exercise something. But it's frustrating when it's happening to your team, like when your quarterback's doing this. So you're probably more annoyed if you're a Packers fan. But outside looking in, this is again, kind of the only mechanism that a player has to get that long-term deal. And it sounds like everybody's feeling good about themselves, and they'll get this done at some point.
Speaking of things that it sounds like you might need to dust off your Undertaker memes. One of my favorite internet memes is the Undertaker dead in his casket, sitting up, or sometimes even in the ring after it looks like he's about to be pinned, and he just kind of sits up and he goes from brink of elimination to wide awake. That meme might play again because it sounds like Warner Brothers Discovery, which is TNT, is matching Amazon's offer for NBA rights. They put out a statement today saying that they intend to continue their longtime relationship with the NBA. Remember, all the reporting on this was that the NBA is going to Amazon Prime Video, and that basically inside the NBA and all the shows that we love and the TNT show with Charles Barkley and Ernie and Kenny and Ernie and Kenny and Ernie and Kenny, that show might go away. But Now, we don't know if this is going to happen or not, but Turner basically put out a statement going, hey, we matched him. We did what we had to do. We look forward to continuing to work with the NBA.
By God.
And now the NBA's got to come back and say, yeah, we take your offer. They could probably say, okay, you gave us $1.8 billion. That's the number, by the way. Amazon Prime is going to now give us $2 billion. Do you want to meet them again? But it sounds like they were told maybe the way they're acting, if you meet it, you get to stick with us. TNT has been with the association since 1984. Games have been on TNT since 1988, year I was born.
Man.
35 years ago.
That seems crazy. I would have guessed way later than that because cable wasn't still totally ubiquitous for everybody even at that point. Right? I mean, Turner Network Television wasn't really in the mainstream at all by then. I guess it was.
Barkley announced he's going to retire. I wonder if that show still exists, if Charles Barkley is going to hang.
Well, I also wonder if he's, you know, still going to retire if they actually get the NBA back.
That's what I just asked.
No, but like you saying, I thought you were saying he's going to retire anyway, and if the show still goes on. I mean, if he's still going to get to do the show, would he still retire? Isn't that different questions, or am I an idiot?
I think you're asking what I just asked, yeah. Unless I worded it weird. What I'm saying is if TNT still has his show with Kenny the Jet and Ernie, would he still retire? Or is that just because they were losing that show?
Yeah, that's what I was asking. So it is the same. Guys, can we mark that down? It was the same. Just worded different. It was the same. And I messed it up. Thank you very much. That's all for me.
But I do have one more question.
Yeah.
Unrelated to those two.
Okay.
Do you think he'll retire?
Yeah, not retire now. Yep.
If the show is back.
I don't understand the question, Ernie. I'm going to try to salvage it by doing an impression and hoping that there are no more follow-ups from you, Grant. Back to you, Kenny.
That's really what I was aiming for.
That's the whole time.
Just to get you to do a
just
quick
to set part. It up.
That's what the whole
Daniel Routier.
Was. All right, to the phones we go. We'll put a bow on this. 800-636-1067. In honor of Daryl Green's jersey being retired in week 7, news came out today when it's happening, October 20th, against the Panthers. We're asking you guys who the best player DC football you ever saw was with your own eyes. I'm going to go with Trent Williams. That's going to be my answer. I've got other guys that are close, but that would be, again, from about 97 to now. The guy I'll go with.
Yeah, plenty of nominees here, certainly from my era of absolute greatness from 80 through the early 90s, but Daryl Green's the answer. Just the playoff performances, the longevity, the excellence year over year. He's amazing.
Let's go to Dean in St. Mary's on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dean?
What's going on, Grant?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
All right, so me and you are right around the same age, 36, 37. I'm 37.
Okay.
I was
born in 88, so yeah, right there.
Okay, all right. So best, yes, would be Trent Williams, but there's one guy that's not talked about, and that's Alfred Morris.
Short run, but a hell of, I mean, his rookie season.
Consistent.
Yeah, unreal.
His rookie season was absolutely remarkable. 1,600 yards for his first year in the NFL. Now, the problem for him is not only lack of longevity, but also each year it was like a staircase going down. 1,600, 1,200, 1,000, 750, and then he was gone. But first 3 years, 1,000-yard years, if you're looking for running back production over a three-year span, his 12 to 14 stacks up with anybody. I would never have said, though, he was like the best player in the league or even one of the top two or three running backs, probably. Maybe in 2012. You know, certainly based on the numbers he was, made a couple Pro Bowl appearances. But if we're saying, you know, again, he's young. He's mid-30s, so it's not like he saw a lot of the greats. We're saying the best Redskin player you've ever seen, he's not going to be near the top of my list.
Just to give you an idea, he's fifth all-time in Redskins rushing history.
That's crazy.
Fifth. Just because after Riggins and Portis, you don't have a lot of longevity. Hey, it's the nature of the position, but you
mean,
yeah,
he hit a 4-year run as a full-time starter in 3 years where he was unbelievable.
Portis, Larry Brown, Stephen Davis, Alfred Morris. There's your top five.
I would not have had him that high on the list. Let's go to Bill and Lorton on Grant and Danny. Best player team history you've seen with your own eyes.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Funny Danny. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
In honor of him, I'm going with Daryl Green. And also, fellas, he was the fastest man in the NFL because I was there and saw him run down Tony Dorsett at the 1 yard line. Daryl Green.
Appreciate it.
Save the world.
Hopefully, you get a ticket. You're there. You get to see him inducted Well, I guess it wouldn't be an induction as much as the jersey retired,
mm-hmm.
and you get to see them unfurl that. Let's go to Frank in Mechanicsville. Hey, Frank.
Greg and Danny, how you doing, fellas?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well.
So I'm right in the same age range. I'm 30. And for me personally, it'll always be Chris Cooley, to the point where when I played football growing up, I switched to tight end. Eighth grade year, got to choose jersey number. I asked for 47. Closest they had was 44, so I rocked the big 44. And outside of him, also growing up, Sean Taylor, that dude lit up the NFL and is the, like, prototype of what you want an NFL safety to be, and no one will ever, ever live up to the quality of a player that he was.
Do you remember the 99 team at all, or no? I'm trying to get a feel for, like, your... Okay, so what was your earliest memory of the team?
About 2002, 2003.
Okay. Yeah, then I think that makes
that's your window.
A lot of sense. I mean, you've got to go Taylor, Cooley, Portis, Moss.
Yeah, his introduction's like Rod Gardner.
Yeah. You're not going to get me to run down my guy Chris Cooley again. He was my favorite player ever. But a lot of what he said sounded more like he was my favorite than he was best.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cooley was excellent. I mean, outstanding. I remember getting into knockdown, dragout, screaming arguments with my buddy, who was a big San Francisco fan, comparing... who was their tight end at the time? Was it Vernon Davis, I think, versus Chris Cooley? His dad was a big Giants fan. We would talk Jeremy Shockey versus Chris Cooley. Like, I would always, one of my Cowboys buddies with Jason Witten, I would just stand on the table for Cooley all the time. But Trent Williams is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And you saw his whole career, too, if you're 30 years old. But think about the difference in the fall-off we're talking about.
That's right.
Like, all the Hall of Famers you could rattle off that you saw, one after another, or guys like Jacoby who should be in the Hall. And then with us, it's just some guys that made a couple Pro Bowls, like for my age.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're a little younger than me, even like that guy. Let's go to Jason in Leesburg. Best player team history you saw?
Grant, Danny, first, Big Lebowski. Come on, man.
One of the I know,
best
right?
Ever.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Second thing, Dale Green, no doubt. John Riggins is going to be my choice. That guy, you just hand him the ball, and he always got the first down. It just seemed like that guy was so reliable. But everybody is sleeping on one that I got to tell you that I think belongs in the ring, retired. This guy played 12 years for the Skins, most valuable player, won a Super Bowl. One of the 80 greatest Redskins of all time, and the only kicker to win an MVP, Mark Mosley.
That's the MVP?
That did happen.
Different time. B, he brought us five guys. Extra bonus points. Post-career achievement.
Him bringing us five guys, more impressive than winning the MVP as a kicker.
Still holds the team record for points. Mark Mosley.
One of like the 10, like if I had a time machine and I go back to 10 moments in history, there'd be some like real huge political moments or historical significant things. I'd want to go back to 1982 and talk to some people that were voting and be like, what?
You guys.
What's happening?
You guys. Football's a game that's one of the trenches, but sometimes as a man who puts foot to the ball, he's extra valuable. When it goes through those uprights, they had a 70% clip.
But again, nope. You will not get me to run down one of the greatest to ever do it. And that's what he was here, Mark Mosley. Greatest you've seen? You saw Daryl Green.
You saw Ken Houston play, bro.
You saw,
you know what I mean?
Dexter Manley. You saw some guys.
Yeah.
Couple. You saw John Riggins run with the football. I like the versatility of some of the answers, though. Getting a lot of names nobody said. Let's go to Turner in Hollywood on Grant and Danny. What's up, Turner?
Hey, guys. Listen. Hands down, I would say Daryl Green, but if we're going to talk about athletes, you can bring out names like Pat Fisher, but I think the greatest all-around athlete that we've had was your boy, Brian Mitchell, who would put his head down and do whatever he was told. He could play any position or any skill position on the offensive side. But, guys, think of this. What if he played defense? Could you see him coming down making Sean Taylor type hits?
Appreciate you, buddy. Now, he changed the question a little bit, but I want to play the game for a second. If you're talking strictly greatest athlete team history, it's going to be hard to top B. Mitch. Brian, he just said it. He could play every position on offense other than the O-line. I don't know why you'd line him up at tight end, but you could.
You could.
Running back, receiver, and took snaps at quarterback. Come on. College quarterback.
A little box safety action for Brian Mitchell. You could see him do it, right? Come downhill.
I'm not even talking about what he could have potentially done. I'm saying he actually did those things.
Yeah.
And he was the greatest return man in history when he said goodbye to the league. You want to talk athletes?
How about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's different. I would put Champ Bailey on that list. People sleep on this.
Played offense, man.
Champ Bailey played receiver and corner in games at the end of his time in D.C. It was like December games where he legit would line up at wide receiver, run routes, make catches, and he was a cornerback.
Ho-hum.
Right.
Yeah, as you do, normally.
Let's go to Matt in Linden. Where's Linden? What does that mean?
Out by Front Royal, man.
Oh, all right. That's where I went to 4-H camp.
Yeah. Hey, I want to stop real quick and thank you guys, man. You guys had me set the bar real high for my son. I threw the first pitch out to that Nats game last year when you guys had that question.
Oh,
so throughout the first pitch.
Oh, nice.
Were we down on the field with you?
You were, yeah.
Okay, because I don't remember the specifics as much other than that you threw a strike, didn't you?
I think it was a strike, yeah.
That was a borderline? Was it like a little, you know, Angel Hernandez strike, or was it a real one?
Probably 71 miles an hour, split the plate in half.
I don't think so. But
77.
It's like you caught a fish. But, I'm telling you, it's a little bigger than it was. That's all.
Yeah, but anyways, Mr. Iron Man, man, London Fletcher.
Ooh,
that's a great answer.
Middle linebackers, underrated, should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
In his era, like recently here, if you're like a, you know, 25, 28-year-old fan, something like that, I think that plays. He should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame, by the way. I think eventually he will. Some of the metrics that are bad metrics don't help him. Like the fact that he only made 4 Pro Bowls. That guy should have been in 8 or 9 Pro Bowls. He was never a Pro Bowl before his third season in Washington. They signed him having already led the NFL in tackles a bunch and averaging 140, 150 tackles per year in Buffalo. He obviously started as a special teamer in St. Louis, small school, John Carroll. London Fletcher. Over the last, if we're talking 2010 plus, like the last 15 years of football, right at the top of the list, maybe.
I mean, compares, not favorably, but right in line with Ray Lewis, who's, you know, obviously as gregarious and outgoing as anybody's ever been, drew a lot of attention to himself and was an excellent player. Some of those same metrics are right, London Fletcher's right there in terms of those things, whether it's tackles for loss, overall approximate value, a number of things that measure that stuff. He just didn't do a pregame ceremony where he ate grass and danced real loud and yelled at reporters or whatever. Just whisper quiet, going about his business, thumping skulls.
Thanks for celebrating. Daryl Green with us with that convo. Tip of the cap to 28. They will retire his jersey, we found out today officially. It's going to be October 20th, Week 7, 4:05 game. Next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. ESPN ranked every team 1-32 for their power rankings over the next 3 years based on how they're currently built. Where did Washington come in? We'll tell you on G&D.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I miss Juan Soto, and every now and then I'm reminded of how much I miss Juan Soto. Today was one of those days, not because he homered twice, which is cool, but because I think Juan Soto is just awesome, and I think he is the type of dude you want to be friends with. He's like your buddy that you're like, God, that guy's cool.
Juan Soto's cool, dude.
Just cool. So in the World Series, you may remember, Alex Bregman hits a huge home run off the Nats.
Yeah.
He takes his bat all the way down to first base. And as he's approaching the first base bag, he kind of drops it, right? But he carried it over 2/3 of the way down the line, and then he just kind of drops the bat on the ground. Juan Soto subsequently hit a monster, mammoth, prodigious home run, went further than Bregman's. And he carries the bat to mock him and mimic him all the way down to first and basically drops it at the feet of his first base coach.
Timmy Bogart.
As he's rounding first base, right? Davey was livid. We don't do that. That's not how we operate, blah, blah, blah. Today, the Yankees are beating the Rays. They're trying to salvage a split in a four-game series. Jose Siri, who's hitting a couple hundred, hits a home run while down. I think it was 4-0, made it 4-1. Maybe it was 4-1, made it 4-2, something like that. But he's a Rays player, not having a good year. Hits a home run, gets out. He admires it from home plate, like, for a really long time. And then he took a really slow jog around the base pass to the point that it draws the ire of all of the Yankees. Now, I don't personally have much of an issue with celebrations. In fact, I don't have any issue with celebrations. I think there's a line you can't cross, which is, as long as you're doing things to toward your own dugout, not toward the opponent, you're not talking S, then it's fine. And that's where, like, Jerks and Profar, with the Padres as an example, when the Nats got upset at him, I think rightfully, went over the line. But even in this case, even though it was ridiculous, Siri is like basically walking. Like, look what he does here. Have you seen this?
I've not, no.
It's from this afternoon. So he gets to third base, and he basically stops, and he, like, makes a bunch of motions to his teammates. Again, this guy's hitting 200. The team's down by a few runs. It was a solo home run. It was a wall scraper. And, like, he's stopping almost completely.
Yeah.
He's, like, touching his head. I don't know what he's doing.
Michael Kay wasn't happy about it either. Yeah, but broadcast. It was off. He was going off. Yeah.
Get me that audio.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, again, everybody has like a routine now. Everyone has to do everything. But this one seems to include you almost stop to a stutter step, kind of like you're barely walking, gesture to the dugout, then pick your speed back up again, touch third base, whatever handshake you've got. Now you go home. Now you got to go to the dugout and get whatever headdress or helmet on or special themed magical ride.
Here is why I bring it up. I wouldn't have cared enough to tell our DC audience about it, except that I love Juan Soto.
Okay.
So Juan Soto hits another home run. He had two today. But he hits a home run to right, and he took 37 seconds to get back to home plate.
That's hard to do.
A normal home run time, like if you're really booking it, a little over 20 seconds. Like, when you're upper 20s, it's like a really, really long trot. Like, what were you doing? He took 37 seconds. And then he was asked about it after the game. He said, I don't know what Jose Siri was doing, actually. I just don't know. For me, I just, you know, it's hot weather. It was a tough day. I tried to save the hammies and make sure I go nice and easy. But, like, you don't get one over on Juan Soto. He is not here to let you embarrass him or his teammates. And God forbid, right after you do something to try to rub his face in it, he will rub yours.
You better hope he doesn't have another at bat coming. I'll say that.
Let's hear what Michael Kay had to say about Siri.
You lose it. I mean, celebrate when you win it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're acting like it's Mardi Gras in that dugout. You're losing the game.
What a line. Mardi Gras. I mean, I don't agree with the take that much because, like, again, I like fun and baseball's entertainment. But what a great – if you're going to be an old man, like, make me laugh.
Lean in. Amen, Michael Kay.
That's a wacky bit.
Because, listen, if you're excited because you tied the game or it's like a dramatic moment, get excited. Exciting things are exciting. To their point, you know, they're getting smashed in that one. I guess it was 4-1. But still, it's like – isn't there a time and a place? You know, like Leron Landry flexing on a ball carrier after a 25-yard gain when his team's down four touchdowns in the fourth quarter? You're kind of going, dude, don't you know it looks dumb? It looks embarrassing, right?
How cool is Juan Soto?
Very.
He's just the coolest, man. I want him to remain with the Yankees after this season. Here's why.
Whoa.
Yeah, here's why.
Okay.
Here's why.
All right.
Wait for it. I think there are two teams that Juan Soto could play for next year, the way that I see it. They're both in New York. Uh-oh. I think he's either going to be a Yankee or a Met. There are people with delusions in D.C. that think he could come back here.
That's adorable.
I don't see that one. Does he cost any money? Do you have to spend money to get him? Might be tough. I don't know who else can afford him. I don't think the Dodgers could. I'd be fine with that. Just send him to the other coast. I don't have to see him that much. Doesn't have to play the Nats a whole lot. A la San Diego when he was with the Padres. But I think it's Yankees or Mets. It's either Steve Torrey. Is that the right name? Am I making that up?
I don't know.
Owner of the Mets.
Cohen?
Steve Cohen. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, who's Steve Torrey?
I don't know. I think he's like a radio guy in New York.
Well, there's Guy Torrey, who's the comedian.
Yeah.
Then there's Joe Torrey.
Steve Cohen's he's the one guy that just could wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I'm not losing. I'll write you the check, Boris. We need to do something. Here's my something. So I can see that. I think he could also just stick with the Yankees. And that's way less painful to me.
I would love one of those dark horse American League teams. Like, give me the Rangers.
Just laying in the weeds.
You know, like Detroit hasn't spent money on a player in 15 years.
What about the Angels? Like an Artie Moreno?
Great.
Like, let's give him
the
Vernon Wells,
yeah,
Pujols type thing. Maybe.
What I don't want is it's like the Braves, for some reason, and the Mets and the Phillies all of a sudden like fighting over him. And then he's like, I'll play for all three of you at the same time against the Nets somehow.
I just feel like we've had enough, and it's cute. It's everyone had their fun. But Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and Scherzer, the in the division rivals thing, I am good on it. I'm done with it. And he's the one of all the guys that I probably love the most. It would hurt the most to have him in the division. Like him wearing Mets gear, I don't think this is even an option, but Braves or something.
Right.
That would just not be okay.
I don't think it's realistic. I'm going to throw something else at you. It's not really what we're talking about, but just you and me having a conversation. It's kind of what we're doing here. Read an article. It theorized that a team laying in the weeds on Juan Soto with new ownership looking to make a giant splash to put them over the top, the Baltimore Orioles. This would be the first of its kind. This is, again, a player that costs money that's not homegrown from a farm system as a result of 15 years of losing. This is not that. This would be their first one of these. What would you do?
So I'm going to play your game.
Play the
game. First, I'm going to say this will never happen and makes no sense. But now that I got that out of the way, oh boy. Wait, what is this envelope that says season tickets? Hun, what is this about? What? I don't know how these got here.
There's some mistake. It says we have a condo in Baltimore now, honey. What is that?
Why are we going to Camden Yards 81 times?
81, really?
What does that mean? Yeah, that would be pretty neat. I'm in on that. I should update you, Danny, because we have not told you yet, that the lads did make it out to see Twisters on Friday night.
Oh, congrats, fellas.
The last time we were talking to you on the show,
yep,
we told you that it was going to be a show field trip.
So you didn't see me come in?
You were invited. I actually did, Darius. I don't even think you know this because you might not have walked in yet. I called Danny right as like the lights were going down.
Totally true, Dan, by the way.
It was probably at like 10:36 or something. And Danny answered, you sounded asleep. Were you asleep?
No, trying to be quiet because my kids had like just finally gotten to bed and were laying down and stuff.
So this was what I heard. Hello. And I was like, Danny. All loud. He's like, yeah, what's up, dude? I'm like, where are you? The movie's about to start. We're waiting for you. We have a seat right here. Oh, I'm parking. I said, oh, okay, so you're coming in a minute? He's like, yeah, I'm right by the, I'm not there. And then I heard a click.
Yeah, I said, I'm right by the not there.
Were you louder when you were doing that phone call with Danny in the theater? Were you louder than the couple that was sitting behind us?
I hate them. I hate those people. Hate them.
Wait, there were... Wasn't the theater empty?
To quote the Plain White Tees, one of my bands that I liked at one point, hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like them. Nope, hate them. What happened was,
yep,
anytime someone comes into a movie like 40 minutes late, you already know they suck because they're not there for the movie. They literally were like, where can we go talk for a while? We could go to this bar over here, or we could go sit in the back of this movie theater and ruin Grant's night. Let's go ruin Tubbo's night.
Oh,
that's
no.
What they decided to do.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, they just did a lot of talking. At one point, I never have to go to the bathroom during a movie, and I did in that movie. I was so mad about it, by the way. I'm like, probably broke a 38-movie streak of not having to go to the bathroom. I get up to go to the bathroom, and just like they cut me off or something, I have to make eye contact and see who these people are. And so I look back, and I see them laying in a lap. There's two seats. I don't even know how you would do this. I guess they pull up the recliner in the middle, and the person on the left is laying across the seats in the lap of the girl to the right. Talking, like you would do, like braiding hair or something in a sleepover, like just eye contact talking. But you can't say anything. That's the thing. There are people that say stuff. I'm not one of those people. That never ends well. Have you ever once heard of a story where, yeah, I was at a movie theater and these people were being gigantic jackasses?
So I shushed them and people really like to be shushed.
So I said, hey, cut it out. I paid money. Please stop talking. And they said, oh, my apologies, sir. That's not ever how it ends. I'm so sure I want people sitting behind me that I can't see to be angry at me and make myself a target. No.
No.
I'm never going to engage. I'm never going to do that. And they're like, oh, you know, you're weak. No. Someone said, what was the thing people were beating me up for the other day? I was tweeting with people and they're like, so you just took to Twitter to mention it and you didn't like complain to the person? I'm trying to remember now what it was. I'm like, you think that the best plan of action there was to confront the person? No, never.
Yeah, because now like you're doing some sort of word that didn't exist 15 years ago, like, but you're now doing that to someone. Like,
what is that?
Well, I'm saying like you're like someone who's doing something that's annoying, and then you're like, hey, please stop that. And now you're a fill in the blank, like Ryan's age group and younger made up things for people that are like, hey, please don't be annoying in public or whatever. And like, that guy was a total vark or like something. And like now everyone's like retweeting that you're one of those things. You know what I mean?
Like, I never like just making up a term because you haven't searched like, that one
again.
Yet.
I hope that's not a real thing. If it is, I'm sorry to all the varks. Like it
pops me.
I don't mean to vark so shame. Funny. I don't know.
You're a vark shamer. So, here's what it was. I just
like
looked
you're a talk shamer.
I looked it
movies.
Up on Twitter. I tweeted, it should be illegal to sit at a bar next to someone with your phone blaring audio at full blast. I was in a bar in Texas, and this guy was watching TV on his phone next to me. At full, I'm not doing a bit. This is not like, oh, it was full blast. As loud as his phone could go.
There's like he tried to turn it up, but it wouldn't go up anymore.
If he was trying to show me the video on his phone, he couldn't make it louder. And he was sitting directly next to me. Directly. Probably a foot and a half away.
What a vark that guy is.
And so, you know, a couple times I kind of look over, like, trying to send a message, you know. But I tweeted this, and the responses are a bunch of people telling me I'm a loser. I should have fought him. You know, you're a baby.
Right.
Why don't you punch him
in
the face?
Put your brass knuckles on and stab him in the throat.
What? Bunch of tough guy idiots, you know. Like, you didn't confront him. You just complained on social media. You're the problem. I'm like, if you're a crazy enough person to sit at a bar blaring audio with people around you, I am not going to confront you. If you are a person who cares so little about me and society that you go into a movie theater and lay on someone's lap while talking,
you're hoping that somebody
at normal volume, you want someone to say something. You're not just going to go, oh, are we too loud? I'm so sorry about that. Let me now focus on the movie that I came late for and don't care about. No. What's going to happen is you're going to yell at me or assault me or throw something at me or record a video of then hitting me in the back with popcorn. And now what do? I'm a baby. Oh, tough guy. You should fight him. Yeah, I'm sure I should. Nope. I'm just going to be assaulted or yelled at and treated like crap by a stranger in society until I go home and they ruin my time. So what I'd rather do is rather than being yelled at or hit or thrown at is just let them annoy me and complain about it. That's what I chose to do. But anyway, I had a good time with my friends. Me and Darius and Ryan. You don't know who
came. And Danny. I was in the back.
No.
Nope.
There was a fourth.
Oh.
Toby came.
Tobias did?
Because we were like plotting it out on the you know, like the whatever our little Nats seventh inning, why did Davey do that chat is. And like, so Toby was like, wait, what theater? We're like, we're going here at 10 something. And I'm like, no chance. He's just going to drop everything. Toby just walks in like as the trailers are dropping. It was, and he never really confirmed he was going. It was just like a great move. But me and Ryan went and had a drink at Dudley's.
Wow.
On the rooftop bar.
What?
Yeah.
Was it? Hold on. You have an alcoholic beverage that night?
No. Ryan did.
Ryan, did you have alcohol?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, no, Ryan didn't either.
Okay.
Neither of us did.
No. All right. Good.
I should be clear.
Good.
Never.
We had soda water.
Mm-hmm.
Soda pops.
Mm-hmm.
Darius had popcorn.
I did.
Big Sorry, old Darius. You okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, I think. Yeah. I'll make it. Okay. I'll make up for it at Deadpool this week with nachos.
Tough. And you'll love this. Last thing I'll tell you about the movie. I never showed him my ticket. I just walked right past. Like,
come on.
Yeah. And like Ryan, of course, gets stopped and has to show the ticket.
Gets frisked.
I just went straight through.
Do you have any M&Ms in your underpants, sir?
Now, it was not a situation like I was trying to avoid it, but like the guy was just like semi-lackadaisical.
Yeah, you couldn't be bothered.
I had popcorn and a soda, and I'm walking, and he just didn't say anything and didn't ask, and I'm just like, on to the next. And Ryan's like, because we were a little concerned because Darius had the tickets.
Yeah.
And we, you know, he was behind us. And so there was a little chance that it was going to be like, maybe we can't scan the tickets or whatever. So yeah, I just kind of kept it moving, and then Ryan got stopped.
It's your second mutant ability. You can fall asleep on airplanes and just walk past people trying to stop you.
Vark, a noun defined as...
Oh, no.
A furry that dresses themselves as an aardvark. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't either. There you go.
Listen, We do not Vark shame on this show.
Grant and Danny.
I literally made it up.
On the fan. I want to get into the ESPN rankings over the next 3 years of every team and where the Commanders come in. Let's do that. The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny is the law firm Condorian Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you so that you can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. ESPN ranked all 32 NFL teams in a ordering of stock they would buy for the next 3 years. So these are projections out in 24, 25, 26 for every NFL team. The Washington Commanders were ranked 22nd of 32 teams, Danny. They ranked 24th in overall roster, so bottom eight. 15th at quarterback over the next 3 years, which is interesting. I think that just shows they didn't exactly know what to do with Jaden Daniels. Right. There's a chance it doesn't work. There's a chance he's a superstar. So you end up somewhere kind of in the middle. 20th in coaching, which is lower middle tier, I would say. And then 20th in front office. Now, I would have liked front office to be a lot higher. Everybody loves the front office they put together, and Peters could be a rock star. But I guess it's hard to put them higher than average when we haven't seen him do it yet.
Right, there's no career record, really, for anyone to kind of lean back on. And when there's a variable, you're sort of going, you default lower, but the arrow potentially is trending up. There's some helium.
They have a write-up here. Again, 22 out of 32 for the Commanders. Reason for hope, new ownership has been a breath of fresh air in Washington. Fans are generally more optimistic than they've been in a while. The selection of Heisman winner Jaden Daniels at number two offers even more reason for optimism. New coach Dan Quinn showed he can win during his first head coaching stint in Atlanta. If Daniels lives up to the hype, this could be a fairly quick turnaround. Reason for concern. I think Daniels could have a C.J. Stroud-like rookie season. The concern is the offensive line that will be protecting him. Can Washington improve this unit going forward, particularly at tackle? Daniels cannot take the kind of hits he took at LSU in the NFL. The Commanders need him to stay upright and distribute the football from a clean pocket. That was written by Lewis Riddick. Nuggets to know, again, this is the Commanders 22 out of 32. What will happen with Washington's stalwart defensive tackles? John Allen's 29, although his contract goes through 25. Many believe he might be a cap casualty after this season. I'm one of those people. Since the Commanders drafted Johnny Newton in the second round, Daron Payne's 27. His contract runs through 2026. Allen had 5.5 sacks, but just 23 total pressures last season. Payne just 4 sacks and 29 pressures. So they're already thinking ahead at defensive tackle as far as the roster breakdown where they had them kind of middle of the pack. What I think we should get into next, though, is to kind of set the table here. What do you make of the outlook for Washington over the next 3 years? And what do you think other than Jaden Daniels will be an X factor in determining what they become? So I want to get your thoughts on that next, Danny, and we can take calls on that. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny is the law firm Condorian Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you so that you can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. ESPN ranked all 32 NFL teams in a ordering of stock they would buy for the next 3 years. So these are projections out in 24, 25, 26 for every NFL team. The Washington Commanders were ranked 22nd of 32 teams, Danny. They ranked 24th in overall roster, so bottom eight. 15th at quarterback over the next 3 years, which is interesting. I think that just shows they didn't exactly know what to do with Jaden Daniels. Right. There's a chance it doesn't work. There's a chance he's a superstar. So you end up somewhere kind of in the middle. 20th in coaching, which is lower middle tier, I would say. And then 20th in front office. Now, I would have liked front office to be a lot higher. Everybody loves the front office they put together, and Peters could be a rock star. But I guess it's hard to put them higher than average when we haven't seen him do it yet.
Right, there's no career record, really, for anyone to kind of lean back on. And when there's a variable, you're sort of going, you default lower, but the arrow potentially is trending up. There's some helium.
They have a write-up here. Again, 22 out of 32 for the Commanders. Reason for hope, new ownership has been a breath of fresh air in Washington. Fans are generally more optimistic than they've been in a while. The selection of Heisman winner Jaden Daniels at number two offers even more reason for optimism. New coach Dan Quinn showed he can win during his first head coaching stint in Atlanta. If Daniels lives up to the hype, this could be a fairly quick turnaround. Reason for concern. I think Daniels could have a C.J. Stroud-like rookie season. The concern is the offensive line that will be protecting him. Can Washington improve this unit going forward, particularly at tackle? Daniels cannot take the kind of hits he took at LSU in the NFL. The Commanders need him to stay upright and distribute the football from a clean pocket. That was written by Lewis Riddick. Nuggets to know, again, this is the Commanders 22 out of 32. What will happen with Washington's stalwart defensive tackles? John Allen's 29, although his contract goes through 25. Many believe he might be a cap casualty after this season. I'm one of those people. Since the Commanders drafted Johnny Newton in the second round, Daron Payne's 27. His contract runs through 2026. Allen had 5.5 sacks, but just 23 total pressures last season. Payne just 4 sacks and 29 pressures. So they're already thinking ahead at defensive tackle as far as the roster breakdown where they had them kind of middle of the pack. What I think we should get into next, though, is to kind of set the table here. What do you make of the outlook for Washington over the next 3 years? And what do you think other than Jaden Daniels will be an X factor in determining what they become? So I want to get your thoughts on that next, Danny, and we can take calls on that. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.